Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fun Bearable. I am Brad Rohr.
Chuck Staton.
I am currently Ray Harrington.
And we are joined today by special guest, Mike Cannon.
Currently.
Consistently.
In this moment.
Yes.
Yes.
Could change. There could be a marriage by the end of this episode. We don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. I think we could probably, we could hyphenate.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Anything Harrington? to make me less of a white Mike in comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Three names might be good.
I think that's the name of many open mics.
Yes.
The white Mike.
It's the majority I went to.
Yeah, I'm doing a set at the white Mike. It's going to suck.
It's going to be for other white micers.
Isn't that funny? People trying to make like open mics more hospitable for people as if that's an environment anybody wants to stay in.
I know.
It's like, no, we want to make this comfortable. It's like, good, stay there.
Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious.
I forgot to look. Oh, shit. What? Now I seem vain.
Your hair's good.
I got a haircut.
It's true.
Listen. You can relate. You got a shorter thing, and I'm jealous because that looks okay.
Yeah. Okay,
I can't do that.
Wow, you only went with okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it looks excellent.
It looks great. Don't worry, it hurt.
it looks great.
Thank you.
It looks fantastic. I'm jealous. It's good.
After being pushed, I'll say it looks good. Thank you.
I said great.
Your turn.
I'm just jealous. That's all. I'm just jealous there's anything up there.
I love it. You sat out. You're like, listen, this is a conversation for me to just listen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I want to be respectful.
No. It's time for me to just listen. No. Mm-hmm. You know?
The hair havers will talk.
You got to stop calling them that. We don't call them that anymore.
It's not your responsibility to educate me.
That's right.
But it's my responsibility to learn.
We refer to people that happen to have hair as POH. People of hair.
I
people
like
of
that.
Follicles, POF.
This is right. So dumb. I'm
haircut.
Sorry. Just give me a wink.
I'm
cause
enjoying
a distraction.
This.
Ray's haircut.
Yeah. I just came from the second pass.
Oh,
on
no
the
kidding.
Haircut.
Okay.
So
it's like a tattoo.
Yeah, right? Nice.
It still looks like a rough draft.
Yeah, it really does. It does. But I got a haircut. I have like a new barber who's not... Like, I don't think we would hang out.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Dominican?
Oh, no. The opposite.
Okay.
Let's go with the opposite.
Russian.
I bet he likes
gonna
some
keep
of
guessing
the stuff.
Races.
I want to know race math. Just do a whole like.
Well, first I'm going, what are the most likely barbers?
Yeah,
then
that's
I went
fair.
Dominican, Russian.
Well, you live in New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Israeli is my next.
Yeah. Oh, no. See, I'm from New England, and I currently live in New England.
Gotcha.
So we don't do that. You know what I mean?
It's mostly white micers.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's white clippers.
Yeah.
White clippers. But he would probably enjoy some of the things Russia does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Extremely right-wing guy.
I hear you.
I did not have a dad growing up. I already struggle with communicating with older males.
Mm-hmm.
It's already a weird thing for me, right?
Right there with you.
And this guy puts me off kilter every single time I see him. Every single time. Like, I'll sit down and he's just like, you get a lot of pussy from that last haircut? And I'm like... I'm married and I don't talk like this. It's just so weird. Like I'm just so. But deep down, there is a need to please this guy.
Of course, yes.
And
of
it's
course.
Insane, and I hate it. So I try and find things that we can talk about. There was a guy getting a haircut in the seat across, and he's talking to that barber, and he's like, "Oh, I got tickets to see Mark Normand in October," and I was just like.
Here's your in.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I know Mark,
yeah.
Right? I didn't want to be the guy where I was like, I'm a comedian and I know the people. But I was just like, yeah, Mark's great. He's a buddy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. Like, they just, and I'm like, oh no, there's nothing, right?
Yeah. You should have busted out a clip of the pod.
Yeah.
Like,
here you go. Look, this is Mark reacting to a bad cake that I got one time. that's a weird callback. So.
Oh, tell him the cake.
No, I don't want to.
Real
a
quick.
Fan, for my birthday, a fan brought a cake. I can't believe we're talking about this a second fucking
time. This is great. I'm excited.
I'm going to cut to the chase. They wouldn't let this lady give me the cake. She wanted to give it to me on stage.
It was one of those bakers versus gays thing.
We wish it was that.
You know what?
I wish bakers could refuse cakes after this. This is going to be a vote in the opposite direction.
On the cake, when I received it in the green room after the show, said, "Happy birthday, N-word Ray."
Oh.
Not my...
Full word spelled out?
Full word spelled out.
Good. Good. Yeah. I'm tired of people.
No apostrophe at the end.
Yeah. Right. Was it the 6-letter version or the 5-letter version?
It was six.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's just say ginger... Mix up those letters a little bit, and that's what you get. And
no context, by the way. It wasn't his stage name.
Okay.
It wasn't a part of his joke.
It's not how you were referred to in an old Huck Finn piece.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. But no, there was no like bit that I was doing referring to anything.
Sure.
Yeah. It was just this woman went, "That's you," right? And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So that was that. But I'm trying to relate to this barber. I've gone like maybe 4 or 5 times. He usually cuts my hair. Great. Love it. It's fine. Last time I went, last week, he did it and like forgot what style it was and just did it all slicked back.
Oh.
So cut it all wrong for that hairstyle. I'm like, if I slick this back, I look like a guy who Tony Soprano killed.
That's what I look like. In like episode 3.
Yeah.
You're the bartender at the Bada Bing. Yeah, I look, smash my phone.
I look like a pedophile going to court.
Yeah.
Trying to look my best.
Right. You're like, I'm a hopeful pedophile.
Yeah, I'm a formal pedophile.
Representing myself, of course.
Representing myself, sovereign citizen, Ray Harrington.
And our nation doesn't have those laws.
No.
That happened, and I had to go back today and be like, hey. You
went to the same guy, too.
Yeah,
you're courageous, dude.
Yeah. I was just like...
Well, it's probably frugal, right? You want to say, like, I want this fixed. I don't want to pay any more money for it.
This place, you pay
in advance, by the way.
When you book it.
Yeah.
You do. You pay in advance. And so I did. Because I am a little bitch. Right?
So you paid for the second one in advance?
Yeah, I paid for the second one in advance.
As like, I'm paying for
another
haircut?
How else am I going to get the appointment?
I'm paying for another haircut.
Yes.
Oh, I've had...
This guy made double the money for doing a bad haircut. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't right.
I hate to admit this. I've done so many haircut revisions where I go back and I'm like, nah. And I can't
even imagine having that type of like self-esteem. Like I can't be like, you did this wrong. I'd be like, my head is fucking up what you did.
That's the tact I take. Right? Yeah. Like
honestly,
I went in there.
It's more being like, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I know my head is a weird shape. I got this extra patch. It probably was hidden under like a lump of skin. I don't know. I make it my fault.
I apologize.
Like, it's hard to blend gray and brown. I get it. It's a lot of different colors. It's like.
I apologize for everything. That's my default setting is saying, hey, sorry about that. When I went in there, immediately I was like, hey, last week you did it. I don't know. For some reason it was a different hairstyle. I was trying to say like, that was you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You made the choice there. I didn't come in like this. And I was like, so I'm really sorry. I was just hoping you could blend that in. It looks like I am wearing a toupee now. And he's like, okay. Like, he didn't buy it. And I just kept apologizing. Sorry about that. Sorry, there's not much to cut. You just have to fix that one little part. But then I had to say, like, you know, I look at me, I'm saying sorry. And he's like, stop apologizing. Like, he got annoyed by that. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. I said this phrase, and it's just like my penis went inside my body. I'm completely emasculated, and I'm admitting it to 3 other men now. I said, well, I don't want to besmirch your great work.
Oh, no!
Wow.
Yeah. I was cucked at the barber. Yeah. So he fixed it, but now I'm
the rare
so
self-cuck.
Yeah, I self that's
rare
the only way I
cuck. Yeah.
I will only ever self-cuck. I only solo cuck.
Yeah, that's like jerking off with your left hand and making your right watch.
This is how you're supposed to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look,
I put on little googly eyes. I do googly eyes. And the eyes go crazy when he shakes his head no. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Man.
But yeah, it just made me super paranoid. But so when you have you ever been in a situation where you get a haircut and you're
always
just like, oh no.
Yeah, I mean, here, so there's a lot of things about this that relate to me. Is one, like, I run into a lot of barbers that I just frankly have nothing in common with and say stuff that just shouldn't even be uttered by most mammals.
Right. Yes,
yes. And but I take it as an acting exercise.
There you
so
go.
I'm like, all right, let's see if I can green light bigotry. Let's sit in this seat and really make this guy feel like he's at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, why
that's
not?
Killer.
Yeah, so I'll try to do that every once in a while. But like, I don't know if you guys are like this too, the first or second cut, and as soon as they're like going into your head, I'm immediately like, wrong.
I
have no background in cutting. I have no idea. It always ends up great. And I'm just like, incorrect. Go this way. Wrong. So I'm judging in my head, but I would never under any circumstance return to a person that did a bad job. One, and pay for it again. Two, I wouldn't even not pay for it. Like, I wouldn't do it under, I'd just be like, well, I'll never see that man again.
Well,
I'm going to go somewhere else.
To be fair, the only reason I paid was because at this place, you can only it's a by appointment only, and the only way you can make an appointment is through the website and do the
thing
and pay in advance. Right.
Damn.
I believe he retracted the payment.
It
just happened, so I haven't checked, but I didn't have to do the usual sign out.
Okay.
So I believe it was gratis.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
If it were not pay ahead, I would have gone in willing to pay, but expecting not to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like the reason I went back is because like my regular barber that I had for years moved. And, you know, again, being a guy who has no concept of dealing with older males, I'm just like, but I had one. My stepdad left. Yeah. You know what I mean? And now I have this new stepdad, and I have nothing in common with him, and he thinks I'm a girl. Like, it is an absolute stepdad relationship.
I like the haircut, though. I have no baseline to judge, but I feel like it looks good.
I have a photo album. I'll show you.
All right.
But it is absolutely a step. I'm having a therapy session right now in my head.
I like
he's a stepdad.
And
I'm just like, well, my mom loves this guy. I got to make this work, right? But there's a part of me that's like, I'm a grown up, and you don't talk to me that way. Dude,
it's crazy how many moments like that at 38 I'll still have, and I'll be like, no, you have to get better at this for when you grow up. and so I'll take it as a like life lesson challenge that I must do.
Yeah.
And like I've fired people before. I've had to do like had tough conversations with managers or agents
or production,
whatever. And it's gotten to the point where now I feel great telling people to go fuck themselves.
Wow.
And I am the exact way as you where I started. I have like, I mean, abusive Irish Catholic to the point of like, you know, cynical, judgmental, everything you could possibly want from that type of upbringing. And so I shudder around a lot of men, a lot of older men.
Sure.
And I've been seeking for a mentor my entire life, haven't found it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like, so I've had to work through it.
We've got great news for you.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas.
That's what I'm here for.
What you want to do is
that haircut.
Is apologize to the man that hurt you. You have to apologize to the man that hurt you.
Just over and over. Yeah.
He can hit you as long as he likes you. That's the secret.
I like the idea that he's cutting Ray's hair and Ray's like, so Ron DeSantis, huh? He's just trying to find
what a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, today he was just talking about like he said something. I said sorry. He's like, what are you, Canadian? And I went, spiritually, right? Like I said
nice.
That. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you seem like Canadian. They're gun laws. And then he talked about their gun laws for 5 minutes. And
oh,
I'm like,
oh my God.
Also, I don't even know their gun laws, but most of it is woods. So I assume the large majority of Canadians own some sort of firearm.
I don't even know.
Well, no, the majority of large Canadians do. But yeah, it is wild to me. Like, I'm just like, please, it is a problem that I have inside me that I am just I need this person to like me because of this. That's probably why I am a comedian, right?
Yeah.
Like there's something there.
Of course.
Yeah. You said you had like an abusive background.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, physical, like we were a family in the sense that like we kept getting along and living together and I still I still talk to both my mom and my dad, but I got like hit a lot when I was a kid.
You know, I talked to other friends that had like a shitty dad situation where their father did hit them and stuff like that. And deep down, I'm like, must be nice.
Wow, your dad touched you?
Wow. Okay, yeah. Your dad got a belt and hit you a few times. Cool. But he played Nintendo with you, right? Right? Like, yes, he hit you with the controller, but he played Nintendo.
No, my dad hit me, and I had to take up golf to hang out with him.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Hard to say which is worse. Wow.
That is two things that don't go together.
I know.
The golf fan and the hitter?
Stockbroker,
right?
Though. So my father was an actor and a bartender, and then he didn't have much discipline or a work ethic, and kind of just like went on to other shit once he had kids. Vocally blamed us for why he's no longer an actor a large part of our childhood.
Wait, and, you're not supposed to do that?
No, apparently it leaves a dent.
I have a 9-year-old
that I need to apologize to.
I got to make up for 9 years.
But I punched my dad in the face when I was 19 years old on steroids. So it was like probably the best possible time that it could have happened.
Yeah, best punch.
Dude. Yeah, he swung first. And it was like in the middle of an argument about paying for college. I went to 2 years of junior college and played basketball to save my parents' money because my dad was a stockbroker. Crash of 08, there's just money just all this stuff. So I went to JUCO for 2 years, saved them money. Whoa. Was going to go...
JUCO?
Junior college.
Oh,
it's JUCO, not JEW. Yeah.
Although it was in Suffern, New York, which is a Hasidic haven.
Oh, okay.
I was kidding. It sounds like a company. JUCO.
Next door was JUCO, where they make all the products of the town.
It's the largest bank in the world.
Oh, no. Hey, I think my barber would love this episode. You hit your father.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can't believe we're here in such a silly conversation to be in a real place.
Yeah, of course.
But you say that, and I'm just like, right now I feel like a 14-year-old virgin talking to their older brother who just had sex for the first time. Yeah. And I'm just like, what was it like? Yeah. It felt good, right?
It's like, have you ever hit like, not necessarily a home run, but like perfect contact off the barrel of the bat?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
like it was that. It was the best punch I've ever thrown in my entire life. And I've
and
been
that's
in a
the
lot
one
of
you
fights.
Want it to be. You want that punch to be a great punch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I rang his bell. I mean, he's 6'2", 265. He's a big Irish guy. So we were arguing. I had come home from visiting my then girlfriend at Syracuse. Came home, they were like, we'll pay for whatever college you get into once junior college is over. You know, you saved us money, whatever. Right. So I was like, I want to go to Ithaca. It's close to who I was dating. It had my major. I could play basketball there. We got into an immediate fight because he was like, nope, SUNY, you're not going anywhere else. And I was like, well, that wasn't the terms of our arrangement at all.
Yeah.
And he, you know, my parents are going through a divorce. My grandfather just died. My friends are all dying, weirdly enough, in this time as well.
Oh, no.
So it's like just massive turmoil happening in my house. And he just started frothing from the mouth, getting all fucking spittle. Yeah, Alec Baldwin angry.
Wow.
And then he went through an uppercut. And as if I had been...
An uppercut?
Yeah, like kind
he
of a
led
lazy...
with an uppercut.
A lazy, like, okay. kind of body shot. Yeah. And as if I've been, like... T-1000 keyed into this moment my entire life, dude. I chopped down, punched on his forearm.
Whoa.
So I gave him a full, like, dead arm in the moment. And then, like, a right fielder throw into third, crow hopped, punched him right in his fucking melted pumpkin Irish head.
And
he's a big guy, though. So I hit him flush, but he kind of, like, he just stumbled back. He didn't go down.
Yeah.
And then he just started moving forward towards me, and I ran out of the house.
Yes.
Went to Villanova to visit my friends and got arrested for underage drinking.
Well, I like the steroid part of it.
Does that, yes. Heck of a Tuesday there.
Yeah. That was Wednesday.
Okay.
And then
kidding
that was Thursday.
Me? I made a mess in my pants. Just hearing that story. That's amazing. Yeah.
The steroid.
I mean, I'm sorry that these things happen. It sucks to be in a situation like that, but, you know, rough patches in families and stuff like that. Everything that you were describing sounds like a fucking trauma-rama. You know what I mean? So, of course, that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, but it's also, it's weird to describe it that way because it is, but it also is like, steeped in good stuff as well. Like, my family, like, we got along. We sang. we were really fun and funny at times, too.
It was just a very weird Sound of Music type relationship.
It's like if the Von Trapp father hit. It's like no whistle but fists.
I am 13.
You shut your mouth!
And then I'm just like, wow, a Nazi dad? I mean,
must be nice.
They take him to events. That's kind of neat.
Very organized.
A lot of leather.
But that actually, that like, the idea of this has also shaped my view. So I have this weird weird recent view of what we're currently doing in reality. Sorry to get all mushroomy and weird.
No, that's okay.
But that, like, because of the, you know, not everything, nothing is black and white. Nothing is all bad. Nothing is all good. It's all kind of like a mix and weird. Is that it kind of made me think that we're currently in the afterlife and this is hell. Because, and it's not, obviously there's so much good that happens on a daily basis, but that's what makes this hell. Because it's like, if there was only demons and the devil fisting you and doing whatever, you get used to
it. It's normal.
Your asshole eventually becomes numb.
It's your it's your baseline.
It's the hope that makes this hell.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Emily Dickinson couldn't have said it better.
I feel like I was walking down an aisle.
It's the hope that makes it hell.
I'm walking down an aisle in Barnes & Noble, and I catch the title of that book, and I go, oh, what's this?
Hope is hell.
It's you, and you have one devil horn and like a half halo.
Shrugging. Just shrugging. I read the back jacket.
Just a black suit and a white suit.
Yeah.
The back jacket's like, numb asshole. This is a page turner.
It's got one blurb from, I don't know what nice person we can think of.
Mother Teresa.
And then one blurb from Ron DeSantis.
And then Ray's Barber. Under
it. He's the middle ground.
That's the quote, is Ray's Barber quoting Ron DeSantis.
To be fair, deep down, I am worried that this is going out in the public sphere in some way, and I would like to continue to get my hair cut by this gentleman, and he seems like a nice guy. He has a good heart.
Yeah.
He just needs to meet some new people. I'm trying to be one of those people.
Yeah.
You know?
Just give him like a stem and a cap. See if it opens his world.
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism for some sort of sexual thing?
Yes.
My stem and cap?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it might as well be, actually.
Well, not stem, but cap.
Yeah. Stem and cap.
They're stem. Give me a minute.
My stem is... See, the problem is when my stem is as thick as a cap.
Turn around.
Turn around.
You're getting the stem going.
Oh, all right. You're going to get the stem. What a horrifying thing. Let's try a new transition.
Sure.
Mike Cannon.
Yes.
Mike the big gun, Cannon.
Well, let's talk about why we're here, because it's right now we're in Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And you're here for the Rogue Island
the
Comedy Festival.
The regatta is happening, and we're sailing. We're going to be sailing.
This is our team.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I don't even
know what that is. But
it's like a...
Sailboats?
Okay.
What is a regatta? Is it a race?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it just a collection of rich people going, look at my boat?
Well, I think it's both. I think it's a collection of rich people racing.
I thought it was like a cheese event for rich people.
Ooh,
ricotta. Yeah.
Now that's my type of event. I like that.
All the rich people going, so soft. I don't even need to chew.
They've
got little
Dixie
cups of sample.
I don't even need to. They have like a tube that goes into their throat. Yeah. So they eat their ricotta. Oh, no, it's in shot glasses.
Yeah.
And they just take it.
Delicious. So a collection of rich people is called a regatta.
Yes.
Like a murder of crows, a regatta of whites.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
Of white mics. Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, our buddy Doug Key runs the Rogue Island Comedy Festival. He was recently on the podcast, too.
Nice.
And I was coming up, and I'm like, you know, we started Fun Bearable last summer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, man, let's get some comics on during Rogue. And we kind of just didn't set it up. And then last minute, I was like, I'd love to get Mike Cannon on while he's here. I know he's going to be here. We're going to be here. So we set it up in your hotel.
Hell yeah. My son and my wife are in the room.
This is actually his room.
That's right. Yeah, I kicked them out.
They're in the bathroom.
They're in Applebee's.
Stay in there.
We do have two more episodes to do with each of them.
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of getting one side of the story.
Mike doesn't even have a family.
Our podcasts are very Rashomon-like, where there's just a lot of angles.
Like, did he tell you he punched his dad?
He always leads with that.
It's actually not a podcast. This is for a Dateline episode.
He never even went to Villanova. He never visited. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm
steroids?
Sorry.
No. It was Gushers.
Yeah.
He thought the chewy, like, fruit juice coming out had something to do with jacking him up.
Said it made him stronger.
Yeah. It just makes him excited.
In fairness, it was a pro hormone, so not a technical injectable steroid.
Okay.
But it is an anabolic that they sell over the counter while it goes through the FDA process because that's legal. And then once it inevitably gets
rejected
because it's an anabolic steroid,
right.
They take it down, repackage it, change like a molecule, and put it back up, and it's on sale for another 12 months.
Or is this that stuff at the counter at the gas station?
No, so it's not quite that.
That's horny go weed.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't?
Or I'm maxed out with how horny I am. I can't get any hornier. That might be the issue.
Mr. Staten, we're looking at your goat weed chart here. Off the chart. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's you've got, you're 100% in horny goat weed. You're 45% in maudlin goat weed. Maudlin's my favorite go-to emotional thing.
Yeah, that's right.
But so you also talk into microphones.
I do.
In different aspects.
Yeah. Several different mics.
Yeah, it's true.
I had to be quiet and nod to a gentleman I don't agree with for 45 minutes, and now I can't talk to normal people. That's what happened with my haircut. I'm just ready to go, Yeah, no, slavery did do some good.
Sure. Yeah, it's the reason why we're all here, I suppose. You ever just try to get to that place where you're like, all right, yeah.
And finally he comes out of it, and he's like, Chuck, do you like the pyramids? Then guess what? Pro-slavery.
Yeah, you love slaves. Yeah. It's like the Jane Franco art conversation, and this is the end. You like video games? That's art. Yeah. You like boats? Built by slaves, originally.
Yep. So you have a podcast as well.
I do, yeah. Here's the scenario with Mike Feeney and Brendan Sagalow.
Right. I love it. Now, to be clear, it's not H-E-A-R-S, right? Here's the scenario.
No. Although, it literally, dude, there are so many people that just like kind of riff a name for what the show should be, and it's always better than the title of our name. Yeah. We have like hated the title of our show since its inception.
Every podcast is like, oh no, we have to come up with artwork and come up with a title, and this is terrible.
Because
for some reason, it doesn't matter, but also is the most important thing.
Yeah. We started on Patreon during the pandemic because we had been doing Irish Goodbye podcast, just Feeney and I, and we were with Gas Digital, so we couldn't do a Patreon for them because we were still within that network.
Right.
And so that show ran its course, but we had started this during the pandemic to earn extra money. They didn't give a fuck. And so we were like, it doesn't even matter what the title is.
I know.
Yeah. You know,
use what's the scenario. Like that was the theme music. So like it wasn't even monetized beyond Patreon.
Yeah.
And then
as soon as
it becomes real, you're like, oh, there's so much legal bullshit that we have to actually consider.
To
make this a real show.
Oh, it's a nightmare. And so with that, a lot of like hypothetical stuff.
So it's
how you're like, no, that's it.
It is because it's not.
But I like those.
It's an unoriginal theme, but it's original in the sense of who we are. So
exactly.
It's a podcast, right?
Yes.
And
it sure
it's unoriginal
is.
In its thing.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
We take debates over nothing very seriously, and more or less what it turns into is infighting and like personal gripes or sides take it. Like it's very like Mike and Mike against Brendan or Mike and Mike against Mike.
Yeah.
Like, whoever. It's just like it's constantly shifting to where it's like flanking raptors against one victim.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like.
From the side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Clever girl.
Chuck has that tramp stamp. Clever girl, right on the back.
You found it. Yeah. What it says.
And then he just turns back and he goes, you know. I don't know if you've had this hypothetical, because I'm a fan of hypothetical questions. That sounds really weird, but I like them. Chuck Klosterman, an author, love his books. He kind of breaks down pop culture.
Yeah.
He's like an anthropologist.
He's on Bill Simmons' pod a lot.
That's right.
Yes. Because he loves basketball.
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah.
That's why I like him.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. I haven't really, I don't think I've read any, if many, of his books.
I recommended his latest book was just called The 90s, and it goes through the entire decade.
Oh, that's
cool.
I'll
read
that.
It's really great. Yeah. His whole, he has an entire chapter on Jordan and everything that happened and why, all that stuff. Great. He also released this pack of cards that were just hypothetical questions called Hypertheticals.
Oh, nice.
Loved it.
Really we're gonna buy those and use them for the podcast.
Do you know how many times I look at that? There are so many times I have looked at that box of cards and I'm like, we'll do them. We'll do them at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My favorite one, I'm gonna ask you this because now you're a guest. So instead of positing the question, you get to answer the question.
Beautiful.
I think that's a decent thing, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't
that
seem like what a podcast should do? Mm. I feel, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Answer. I mean, ask questions to be answered. Yeah, of course.
That's like, I mean, I've said for a long time, I've tried to get them to go with me on this. They both kibosh it immediately. Mm-hmm. I've said we should get OnlyFans people on the podcast and go, hey, you take a break.
Yeah. We'll do it.
We'll start taking one month.
Oh, you'd want to take their account. I thought you were going to fuck in front of them.
Just on the podcast. Just on the podcast. Yeah, okay. We give them a show and go, hey, you've worked hard enough.
You have.
You know?
We need a day
off.
Take
your feet up.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
going to suck on them.
Yeah. And whatever increase they get the next month because of our work, we get a percentage going forward.
That's interesting. You think it's going to increase? That's very interesting.
Well, you'd be surprised.
That's our assumption.
It has.
Yeah?
Yeah. My old podcast, we did it all the time. I don't know what
I was like, come on, there's going to be a punchline at the end of this road.
The punchline is I rip this, this tablecloth off and everything is ruined.
Yeah.
So here's the hypothetical. Okay. Are you ready?
Here's the scenario.
Here's the situation. I'm doing a new podcast. It's nothing like the other one. There's two mics.
and it's Mike the Situation.
Here's the situation.
We got a guy named Ike, and we do a lot of bad candy stuff. Anyway, here's the question, and I like this.
How dare you besmirch the good candy of Mike and Ike?
Mike and Ike?
Right there with you, dude. Yeah. I love a Mike and Ike.
And you know what I'm thinking of? Good and Plenty's.
Yeah,
they're disgusting.
I also like Good and Plenty's, but it's because in Indiana, that was all we had.
but that's also,
I think you like Good and Plenty's because that is a perfect description of like your sexual prowess. It's like Good and Plenty.
Nope. Like, good. Good, it's actually not good and not enough.
Bad and it's really lacking.
And scarce.
Bad and scarce. That's great. I love Mike and Ike's, but I love Jolly Joe's, which are Mike and Ike's, but the grape ones only.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate the grape ones. Those
well, then we're going to make a good combination, the yin and yang.
Let's get a box.
Yeah. I'm passing you all the ones that aren't purple.
Jolly Joe's?
Jolly Joe's.
I hate that name.
Which one?
Jolly Joe. The full name, Jolly Joe. I have no problem with either separately. You put them together, Jolly Joe.
Jolly. I would love to meet someone named Jolly Joe.
Maybe it's just because I'm fat and I feel like immediately. Yeah. Like, picture Jolly Joe.
It's not used to hurt you.
You're very sensitive. I'll say a lot of things that are very benign, and you often take them as jokes about you. And
I wasn't taking that as a joke
about me. I know, but I've noticed this. This happened a couple times. I was listening to an old episode.
What's happening now?
I don't know, but I'm having fun watching.
No, and you were like, oh, really, a fat joke? And I was like, no. And you're like, oh, okay. And I was like, what? That really happened.
Oh, I don't know.
In the Gibby the Ghoul episode.
Oh, I must have read it as a fat joke.
Yeah.
I know. Well, there is that one time then. You're right.
Jolly Joe.
It happens all the time.
Because there was that
one time in Thanksgiving and today. So it's all the time.
Yep. Jolly Joe.
Yeah. I'm a snapper.
I didn't say you were calling me Jolly Joe.
But you don't like the term because it's a fat guy.
No, that's not what. Never mind.
All I want is for you to flip this table.
Yeah.
Just turn up this room, dude.
Not so Jolly Joe.
I'm gonna fucking.
That's a salty Sal.
Yeah.
I was just trying to make the comment that I think a Jolly Joe would be a fat guy.
I would love to meet a guy named Jolly Joe. In fact, if I was either, you're like, who do you want to meet behind this door? It's Mike and Ike. Uh-huh. Or behind this door, it's Jolly Joe.
Yeah.
I'm meeting Jolly Joe 10 times out of 10.
Oh, I mean, there's two people on the other door, though.
Yeah, but their names are Mike and Ike. I'm not going to... There's something wrong
with
them.
How many Ikes do you know?
Just one.
Turner.
Violent.
Yeah.
That's right.
I went
right?
to school with a guy named Ike.
I know a guy with the last name Ike, but that's it.
Sam Ike.
Yeah.
That's a good Ike.
He beat up Tina Turner too.
Ooh, if you did a podcast, if you did a podcast with Sam Ike, you could be Mike and Ike. That's not bad.
Wow,
that's pretty good.
Sponsorship right there.
I got to be honest with you.
We're not going to do it.
You already have a pretty bassy voice. Yeah. You add Sam Ike to the mix. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Oh, every car driving, like, oh, I'll listen to the new podcast. The glass in the window just explodes.
It'll be popular with women though. They'll just turn up the bass and then sit in their seat for their commute.
Is it funny? I don't know.
You know, it wouldn't be that bassy. Because he wouldn't talk into the microphone. Oh, he would just be an echo in the background 10 yards away. Dude,
the last time I worked with Sam, and I've worked with him a bunch, he's hilarious.
Yes,
we did Roar in MGM Springfield.
Yeah.
Which is like a beautiful venue, but it's fucking massive in terms of just
that
from
room
bottom
is not
to top.
For comedy.
Yeah. It's like a castle.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I think I sold it out or close to it, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But Sam is like coming off the mic into the shadows, screaming in this like cavernous castle. So I was like, I don't even know if anybody can hear him or if I can't or what is happening. But he was murdering.
I love that.
It just does not matter what venue he's in.
Sam is a lot of fun. And him going off mic is very fun.
That's great.
But yeah, anyway.
Real quick, I'll tell you a funny thing. Go ahead.
I was trying to get back to Ray's hypothetical, but go do your real quick
thing. So I was filming Rogue Island 2 years ago. And we were filming at the Jane Pickens Theater, which is where you're performing tonight.
Yeah.
And the audio console. Sorry.
Is it nice or not?
No, I'm kidding. No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's very nice. But right behind the curtain is where the audio console is. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was talking to Doug and I was setting everything up. And I'm like, oh, I got to set the levels for the night on the audio because I can't affect it during the show because the curtain's going to be up. And he's like, all right, do it while the first comic is on. I'm like, all right, cool. And it was Sam.
Oh, no.
And so I'm like, and I'm behind the thing. I've never seen him at that point in time. And I'm mixing it. And I'm like trying to hear. And finally, I get it to a volume. I'm like, all right, I hear him. And I left. They raised the curtain. They do the whole show. Audio was so fucked up and blown out because he wasn't talking into the mic when I had to set it. So the whole audio was ruined up the entire night.
Well, we've said nice things about you, Sam Ike, and we've said some bad things, Sam Ike.
No, it's not his fault. Yeah. It was just like a funny set of circumstances.
Yeah.
We just edited the podcast right now. In between that, we said a lot of shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We took out that.
Yeah. Mike, you said he should go by Sam the Gimmick. Ike. It was like weird. Yeah. So weird.
I did, and I said it with a gavel.
Yeah.
Well, you added a letter to the beginning of his last name, and I was like, I don't think that'll affect
me in this business.
And then I said, no, don't do that. And then you added a different letter, and it still sounded bad.
Oh, no.
Like, he likes women, but he's a man.
Yeah. Well, that'll affect me in Seattle.
Yeah.
So would you rather? No, I like this hypothetical question because I think it tells you a little bit more about the person.
Okay.
And that's Chuck Klosterman's like thing with the ones that he posited.
Yes.
Is like it's a conversation thing and it gets you to a place where it reveals a little bit more about that person, right?
Does he do this at dinner parties and shit? Like, is this his?
I don't know.
Because I know, sorry to derail you yet again.
Don't worry, this podcast has no rails.
No rails.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, carve out some rails.
It's basically like a wax floor.
Yeah.
And we're cats.
All right, nice.
we're trying to find our footing.
It's every president's budget for public transportation in this country. No rails. That's right. I'm going political.
Wow.
Now.
Yeah.
One day with that barber.
I was going to say your barber immediately turns it off.
I hate this guy. Boo. Yes, go ahead.
Oh. So, because I'm curious if he, like, does these at dinner parties or social gatherings because that used to be like old Hollywood type shit. You know, like Albert Brooks.
That's
how he was found as a child. What is his name? The oldest Reiner was saying that at 15, Albert Brooks was the funniest comedian he's ever known.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, so he as a kid would come to elite, like A-list Hollywood, up in the hills, everybody you've ever heard of from that time. You know, Carl Reiner's Rob Reiner is the older one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So all of those, Mel Brooks, you name it, like comedy titans. And this 15-year-old is getting up in the middle of the living room and like doing bits for everybody.
Yeah,
and that's like what hanging out used to be.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that weird? Right. Now there's like I used to sing for company. Like my parents would force me in my force as if I wasn't shuffling out there. But we used to like they used to wheel us out.
Mom, tell them about the song.
A whole new world. You got the harmony right.
They're making me do this.
No. It's fine. Okay, start it over because I was talking over the. Okay.
I'm on steroids. Going.
Dude, I sang Pontius Pilate's song for company.
He keeps mentioning that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, if you are the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ.
I like
prove
it.
Prove to me that you're divine. Yeah. Change that water into wine.
Like, oh, literally, if I was your parents, I'd make you sing all the time. I love this.
12-year-old. So it's so funny that like, was a heavy part of social engagement back in the day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or at least parties I'm going to that's not happening.
Well, yeah. I think that people basically created podcasts to make those happen again. And now they're trying to monetize that.
That's right. Yeah, let's monetize hanging out.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then those parties often were happening because there was another party a few houses down where the other elites were, not the non-funny elites.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they were just like killing and eating young women. You know what I mean? Like that's all they were.
That's the party I want to go to.
The world's most dangerous game. They just hunt people.
Your barber's back in.
I knew it.
There's just a nude woman with sushi all over her, but they're cutting into her leg.
Yeah. What's all this gross fish shit on top of what we're eating?
That's funny. No.
So, all right. So would you rather?
Yeah.
I like this one. You can either travel Europe, all of Europe, for a year, reasonable expenses paid, meaning you can't go wild and, you know, live in
Holiday Inns.
Nicer. You can do 4-star. You know what I mean? Mm. But it's not like extravagant.
Gotcha.
And they'll pay for all the little travel things you do, but you're not like, I'm going to buy a Bugatti and just go around.
Sure. Do they pay for weed?
Yeah.
Yeah. A reasonable amount of weed. Yeah.
Then I have to shell out, I guess.
You're just buying and returning other things?
That was bad news.
Will they take an Xbox? But you could do that for 1 year or go to the moon for 10 minutes.
I have zero interest in being on the moon.
Okay.
Like, really no interest. I mean, I feel like the simulators can kind of get you there. Like, if you had an itch just to get off, like, feel what it's like to be in a rocket and then anti-gravity and stuff like that. I feel like if you have enough money, you could probably
recreate
those things.
They do that. Like, Jeff Bezos has enough money to literally do it.
Didn't they do that with Kate Upton and her giant breasts during like a Sports Illustrated suit where they had an anti-gravity plane and they had her in a bikini?
Really?
I
gotta look this up. This is crazy.
You know what I hate about that? The phrase of like calling that an anti-gravity plane.
Yeah.
It's just a plane that goes up for a while and then just falls for a while and then goes back up again. They call it the vomit comet, right?
Yeah. Oh, no shit. Yeah.
And they'll film if there's a movie that's supposed to have like a space scene,
right.
They'll do that in that plane.
No kidding. See, but I don't even know.
It's so funny though, because it's like, it's always talked about as if it's like a technological thing.
Right.
But it is literally just a plane that goes up and falls for a while.
That's so funny.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Oh, God. See, I just did it.
Well, like in Jackass, they had the vomit comet with like Steve-O, and he actually was like floating and throwing up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You're only feeling that because you're inside of the object that's falling.
Wow, I didn't realize.
So this is a stupid person's question.
Thank you.
Yes. Is there a room like The Simpsons or whatever where you can press a button and the gravity turns off?
No.
It's just got to be no.
It's
got
to be no. But a boy can hope.
There is. Yes, there is. It's called a broken elevator.
Yes.
You have to be on the top floor.
All right, guys, I'm going to press it.
And Ray puts on his helmet.
Whoa, I'm floating. And then I'm dead.
But if you jump at the bottom.
Also a myth.
Yeah.
Also a myth. Look, I am such a fucking wet blanket right now.
No, I didn't think that me having a 21-inch vertical leap would save me from a 14-story fall.
I always think about that. I always think about if you're falling out of because I saw the Wile E. Coyote do it. A house was falling.
The Wile E. Coyote.
And then right before he hit the ground, he stepped out. He was fine.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't help.
No, it wouldn't.
I like how you said it certain, but also with a tinge of a question.
Yeah, there's like a
the
half
velocity
mark.
Is still happening.
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So don't even think of it as you hitting the ground. Think of it as the ground hitting you.
Yeah. Yes, right.
You know.
So for your hypothetical,
yeah,
I say not the moon because it seems chilly.
Oh,
seems a little chilly up there.
Even okay. in the suit.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah,
even right? filled with piss.
I mean, right away.
Because think
I can't hold it for 5 seconds.
They're out there. You know they're pissing. They're absolutely pissing.
They're probably pissing. I mean, yeah. even if you have to. So I almost always have to piss before I go on stage, no matter what. Like That's why I piss like 3 times leading up to my introduction, just to like shake the last bit of liquid out of my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that being at the Comedy Connection or whatever probably doesn't have as much pressure as taking a step onto the moon. So right, I assume I would also have to piss on the moon.
Peeing in the capsule, that's a whole to-do.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid and I understood astronauts and everything, I was fascinated with how do astronauts go to the bathroom.
Of course.
I would ask the teacher. I asked different people. Everybody was like, I don't know. You know, no one knew how it happened.
Did you ever get the answer?
I did. What it took was me headlining a club in Houston, Texas, where they make them.
Yeah.
Right? Where they make astronauts. And there were people from NASA at a show. And I was like, you have to tell me. There is multiple little suction tubes.
That sounded right, yeah.
That have little, opposite of mouthpiece.
Okay.
Right?
Ass piece?
Ooh.
Yeah. There's an ass piece.
It'd be hot if it was a mouthpiece.
And there's also, there is a toilet.
It's just a fleshlight. Yeah. Just on the moon.
What are you doing?
Why is Chuck lounging in that chair like, oh, yeah.
If that was true, you would never get out of the capsule.
Ooh, a little toothy.
But yeah, so that's how they do it.
There has had to be, like, because they have people up there for a while, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In the ISS, yeah.
They jerk off, right?
Probably, yeah.
I would think so.
I used to have a bit when I was, like, very new in stand-up where I was, like, the first thing I would want to do.
On the moon?
When it was in zero gravity is ejaculate.
Sure, of course. That's interesting.
I want the power of my ejaculate.
It's a terrible idea.
To push me the other way. And my orgasm did this. I propelled my entire body with semen.
I would love that.
The problem is then it gets in the controls.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But while I was doing it.
I'm coming, right?
I would be like, this is the culmination of mankind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really is. It's the culmination of mankind. I picture the ape. Shut up. I picture the ape. I'm trying to do a funny visual, and you're like, what if I came even harder?
He got it in his mouth, and then I said, put your helmet back on.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That is fun. That is fun.
It's like dead bugs on a windshield.
No, he puts his helmet on, and it's inside.
It's only smearing it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Sorry.
But no, like the idea of that would be amazing. I would want to hear the 2001 Space Odyssey song. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and I can picture the slow motion monkey smashing a bone,
yes!
And it has brought us all the way to the culmination of mankind of ejaculating in space.
Yes.
We have left this mortal coil, and I have brought life source to the outside.
Source,
it's not actual
source.
Life, right? But it's source,
no, source.
That sounds like an old noni saying sauce.
Source.
Did you check the source? Sorry,
but raised life sources all over the stars.
Oh, there's life source all over.
Now that's another thing. Is now my wheels are turning. But it's like,
I hear you. Yeah.
Why haven't there been some sort of like Richard Branson style thing? Is like, hey, you want to conceive your child in space?
Hell that's great.
Yeah, space, drop a batch in your lady up on a satellite.
That's great.
I know they haven't. NASA hasn't come out and said it, like, yeah, people have boned in space, but it has to have happened.
Why?
People
have that's to have this is how they space. Get funding. It's like if NASA becomes somewhat human and brings it down to our level.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, we're all lucky to have them. They are brilliant.
Sure.
I couldn't have possibly done anything that they've done. That said, it's so complex it almost disinterests me.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean?
Sure.
So it's like if they were like, by the way, there's cum, I'd be like, teach me about rockets.
First
like
OnlyFans in space.
Yes. Hell yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I would actually sign up for that and I'd be like, you know what? I am supporting the advancement of the human species in some way.
I think
we
so.
We can't limit ourselves to one planet.
They wouldn't struggle for funding.
It's true.
Yeah.
It would be fine.
It would also be interesting to see the effect of zero gravity on a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was just thinking about the making of it.
Sure.
Oh, that I'm interested. You want the whole gestation period on the moon?
I want a full year. A full year.
Oh, God. You want some pregnant woman with, like, no muscles left in her legs.
That's right.
Just weakly floating around with a fetus.
I didn't say this was going to be a good time.
You just want those big, like, milk jugs floating up in the zero gravity. No stretch marks.
Now we're talking.
Because there's no weight, right? And then live birth in the crater.
This took a little too. This took a turn that's like a little too misogyny over on this side.
I like the idea of linguine legs, though. She looks like Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Ooh.
I'm into that.
Let me triple down on this idea, because the fetus, while still connected to the umbilical cord, can breathe, eat, function outside. Oh, no, because the vacuum would absolutely obliterate that fetus. I was going to say, could you structure a thing where the fetus can be outside of the shuttle while the mom is on the inside of the shuttle?
Temperature,
but then,
radiation.
And then the baby just dies.
Temperature, radiation, all the
above. This is how the Nazi doctors started. I think I just realized this is how Nazi doctors got started.
It's also how they continued and how they finished.
You don't tell me how I finished. I finish in a space capsule.
In fairness, the Nazi doctors got way more interested in soccer once they moved to Argentina.
A lot of them came here.
Yeah, they sure did.
That's just history. That's
became
the truth.
Barbers. Yeah.
You know, I used to be a doctor.
I would choose.
You're old. That's you.
I would choose the moon over Europe.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Now this is my question.
How many people have gone to Europe versus how many people have gone to the moon?
See, that's what people say when they want to go to the moon, because I'm going Europe, right? And my reasoning behind that, and often when I have heard someone choosing the moon, it is about doing a thing that very few have done and being able to say, I did that and having that experience. I get that. But for a year to be able, and in this hypothetical, you and I would have to magically not have family.
Sure.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I already completely wiped them out of my mind.
Yeah. What about me? I'm Europe too.
What about me? That's why you're
going through so much weed. Yeah, so exactly.
Thank you.
No, you don't have a wife and a kid.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'll just continue.
We're over here.
What about slinging dick all over the.
You want to go to the moon?
Yeah, but what's Chuck going to do without me?
That's true.
He's going to look up at the moon every night.
You know, he's in my convertible in Europe, and he's like, suck it, Ray.
Like, he gets to go with me. Yeah. So it is interesting, because for me, the reasoning is, I like a lot of Europe stuff is interesting. I'm a history fan. I love London. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. I've enjoyed the hell out of performing there and visiting there and all that stuff. So the idea of being able to just travel and experience different places is great. Yes, in this scenario, it is white foreign countries, apparently, but whatever. Italy's there.
Yeah.
That's close.
Portugal, spicy white.
Italy's not fully white, no matter how much they yell about it.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
No matter how many statues they ever put up of Christopher Columbus, which came from Spain.
It sure did.
But for some reason, the Italians are like, hey, god damn it.
I'm trying to get it going that I'm a person of color because I'm half Portuguese, but Ray won't buy it.
No, you are. But white presenting.
That's what we say.
That's a term
we say.
I've learned.
But a little spice. A little spice there, I got.
A little dash of adobo.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the experience. My belief is that ultimately, this is the boring answer of that question, moon or Europe for a year, is I will be a richer person at the end of that year.
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
For the experiences and meeting different people and having different experiences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And also just being able to, like, carefree do things is amazing. Yeah. The idea of just being like, I want to go do that, and then just doing it. You know, not even wealthy, just okay.
Just
financially fine is amazing.
There's also a thing to be like, when you go anywhere, no matter how interesting it is, just to see the place for a minute or whatever, 10 minutes was it?
Yeah,
yeah.
It just doesn't really, it doesn't give me that much. Like, even if they were like, oh, you're going to go see, you know, the Nile and Egypt or the Grand Canyon or whatever. It's like, no matter how beautiful or interesting.
Neither
it's
of
like
those things
minutes.
Are in Europe.
That's all right.
No, I'm saying if it was instead of it,
yes,
if it was Europe or wherever, no matter where it is.
Yeah.
Even if it was like you're going to go back in time and see a dinosaur. Well, I would go see the dinosaur, actually. But like, no matter what.
He just talked himself out of it. Like, oh,
you just never, you don't really get an experience.
Can
out
I
of it.
Touch it?
I think even outside of going to space for 10 minutes, I would rather like go through training because I don't have any of the skills necessary to do this and then be alone in Alaska for a month.
They put William Shatner up there for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. You know what I mean?
Did they put him up on the moon?
No, not on the moon, in space. But he went to space.
Oh, no shit.
And he hated it. Oh, he came back and he was like, it was hellish. Like, really? That really recently happened.
He didn't say hellish. He was talking about the grandiosity of seeing the world from space. People talk about this, that astronauts that have been to space have a conceptual change where they see the whole world as this small marble and they realize we're all part of this thing, blah, blah, blah. So he was talking about that. And I like that your takeaway is like, he hated it. He said it was hell.
He said we're all one race.
That's fucked up.
I remember the headline, Space Stinks.
From Bill.
From Captain Kirk.
I just want to go to the moon. I'll take a picture of the Earth, show everyone it's flat.
Yeah.
That's why my first podcast broke up. Not even live.
Wow.
Wait, it was a conspiracy podcast.
Which side were you on?
I was on the opposite. So I was on here's the thing. I've gone through, you know, trauma leads to wanting to blame other things, right?
Yes,
or at
sure.
least find reasoning for why things happen. Mm-hmm. So I was up for sale to be a conspiracy theorist. Like really looking.
What do you got? What do you got?
You know, looking inwards is where the real 9/11 happens. So I wanna blame everything
this
outside.
Is my emotional.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, what's this book next to that other book I saw at Barnes & Noble?
Inside is the real 9/11.
Huh. Yeah. Do you like this? Again, in your head,
still
it's
shrugging.
The two towers with fire.
No.
It's still in my heart, and it's 9/11 really was an inside job.
That's fucked up. I just pictured like an 80s headshot from a comedian, but it's you holding a toy plane and going,
in four different panels.
Yeah.
One is a boxer. One is a teacher.
One blurb. Jim Carrey's fucking
one blurb
gallery.
On the back of the book, Osama bin Laden. The other blurb, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, which by the way, there is a Googleable image where I look very similar to Osama bin Laden.
I can see it.
Like, we're side by side, and like it's almost like, what are you talking about? And then you put it side, and you're like, holy shit, dude.
Were you emulating it or
no?
emulating
it right now. Yeah, it was just me.
I was emulating
watching home movies in a cave.
You go to Ray's barber. You're like, listen, before I show you the haircut I want.
Dude, it comes up in a search. It fills it out for you.
Oh, man. We're going to put that on.
It's like stunning how close it is, right?
That is amazing.
We'll put that on the screen for our viewer listeners.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. I love that.
That's amazing. But my argument to your mune argument of going and taking the picture and showing people back home and stuff like that. I had a friend of mine that was like, no, I can go to the moon. That story is amazing. I can dine out on that story for the rest of my life. And I'll be like, you know what? You go to the moon for 10 minutes. I'll go to Europe for the year. Every week, at the end of the week, I'll call you and tell you all the shit I did.
Yep.
And then you tell me again how it was just so gray.
Right. Yeah, and how faded your memory is from the 10 minutes you were there fighting off whatever sickness you got going up there.
Don't get me wrong. I would throw up immediately. Yeah. I get motion sick in Chuck's car on the way here.
You would throw up when they said, we've selected you to go to the moon.
Several years ago on Twitter, they did a thing where they were going to do a Japanese billionaire wanted moon tourists.
Okay.
And you could apply and you had to use the hashtag moon crew. And I'm like, well, clearly this is the time to riff. And I'm like, I loved the game Moon Patrol in the arcade, so I'd be perfect as a moon tourist. Hashtag moon crew. And I did like 17 of them. Different. I watched the movie Moon. and I did not get selected to advance, but I'm like, oh, should I have taken that more seriously? clearly this dumb Twitter contest.
Would you do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. But they were like, it's scheduled for 2025. And like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. Enough pop culture has shown me any contest winner that gets to go to space, it's not ending well.
Yeah. Homer right? saved the day.
That's Homer true. Did save the day.
Just have a
carbon rod. Yeah.
Carbon rod
saved the day.
Yeah. You're right. But I don't want to sit on a shuttle.
Did Lance Bass ever go?
Ooh, wasn't he was going to.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He was supposed to go to space, not necessarily the moon.
You know why? It's because everybody was like, the gay one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then he looked
at all of them.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? I got to go to the moon. That way they'll stop saying the gay one.
It's the only place they won't call me the gay one.
No. That way when he comes back, they'll be like, you know, the one that went to the moon. The moon one.
Yeah. Instead, people will be like, guy loves dude's ass so much he went to the moon.
He goes, you know the moon one? He's like, the gay one. Yeah.
He's not Chris Kirkpatrick, the lead designer of Fu Mosquito clothing.
Can we go back to the astronaut suit where it sucks your penis a little in the tube? Is that what you said?
Man, this is
I do want to know about this.
The information goes through a fucking Rube Goldberg machine.
I like it.
Cling, clang, clong, clong. You know what I mean? It's like a Willy Wonka vehicle inside your brain that takes in the information. I said all the stuff about how astronauts evacuate in space, and you're like, the suit sucks your penis a little bit?
Well, is that what you're saying?
Kind of.
Like, there's a hole?
Not in the suit, like when they're in the capsule, right? The bathroom has a series of like a couple of different.
It's like a tube you got to go and like attach, and then you evacuate.
It doesn't like a vacuum.
It's yeah. like a condom.
A gentle vacuum.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a condom that you pee, and then the suction fills. Happens after that. Yeah.
Right. Wow. And then there's also a toilet.
Yeah.
Which they have to like. Seatbelt into
and strap into, and it sucks.
And it's not even really a toilet. And often, like I saw one astronaut talking about this, they were like, "Usually, everybody lifts the lid because it's not actually a toilet; it's just a suction tube, and they have to keep their ass on it, shit, hit the suction after they, you know, or make sure like the thing is sealed closed." But it's amazing to me because I talked about it on that show in Houston, Texas, years ago. And it really is incredible that there's a guy right now who's retired from NASA telling his grandchildren that his entire life's work, all the way up to retirement, he gets his pension.
Yep.
He's like, I spent 40 years developing a slightly better tube for astronauts to shit in. You know, he doesn't say it to the grandkids, but he's like, no, I worked for NASA. I helped our men and women get up to space. But meanwhile, he's like, I worked on how to lubricate the tube.
Yeah, I was the latrine guy.
Yeah. But without that guy.
Doesn't happen.
No yeah. trip.
If I was developing those things, I'd make them, you know, a little fun.
You're still there.
Yeah. I got you.
What are they doing?
Well, do you have one of them?
It's got to be all wet wipes, right?
There's no way. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's a horrifying experience because being in a spaceship, being in a shuttle or a capsule, whatever, like any wet.
Yeah.
Is
bad.
Like, is
it's
deadly.
Bad. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If you just had like a water bottle and you just shook it around,
one drop,
all the water just
console.
Goes into all the electrics and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
You lazy jizz one time. Yeah. One time you're like, I'm not putting that little thing on top of it. It'll be fine. I'll catch it.
Ooh, you jizz
and
in your sleep.
It's going through your fingers.
Well, that's
and you're like,
what
oh,
I was
no.
just going to say.
Yeah. Because we're all sleeping naked in the thing.
Wait, why are we all sleeping naked?
Hold on.
To the space moon.
I'm so sorry for these guys. What just happened is you said a thing that absolutely everybody should have went and reacted. Right?
What did I do?
But they were so excited.
What did I do?
I don't even think they heard it. I don't even think they heard the thing that we are absolutely need to hear it again. And whoever's editing right now, just zoom right in on Mike Cannon because this is important. What did you just say?
I've had not modern day wet dreams.
Uh-huh.
Like if there is an extended amount of time, like I went to
all in black and white. Right?
The silent
Chaplin-esque.
I went to the Middle East to perform for the troops for like over 2 weeks. So during that, you know, you're in barracks.
Wow, you really put your time.
Whatever.
In.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I got a Purple Heart. I got bit by one of the fucking dogs. And so sometimes it would like you'd go, I went like a full week without a JO, and I just spilled out into my pants one night.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, look at me, 13. This is pretty cool.
I'm jealous. I've never been able to do this.
It's
whole...
way more cum than in any other situation.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, so much more.
I'm not laughing because I get it.
I'm never laughing
because it's insane. It's truly insane. I understand what you mean.
I've never had that. And no. my buddy would go to strip clubs and be like, oh, I can't really get that many lap dances because I'll just cum. I'm like, that's insane.
That's the point.
I could never like, come in my pants from a lap dance, though.
I have never finished anything up at a strip club.
No. Neither thing has happened.
That's why I don't go.
Nocturnal emissions.
You're like, what a waste of money.
Yeah, it's truly, you're paying for an erection. There's no reason.
I have finished at a strip club. It is way more expensive than the regular stuff. Yeah. But no, like the idea of the nocturnal emissions.
The alley out back doesn't count, Jay.
It was on the premises.
I assure you it does.
There was a velvet rug.
Sure you would. That was my argument. No, but the nocturnal emissions thing and the jizz in the pants thing, I'm like, it's foreign to me. It feels like a superpower.
No kid.
I'm jealous.
Why do you think you're jealous of it?
Oh, yeah.
It's more of a super weakness than a superpower.
No, it really is.
Have you ever tried to make yourself come with your mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you?
No, I can't.
I got close.
I got close, too.
I was in the, this is rough, but I was in the passenger seat of my mother's car, and I was like 13.
Yeah.
And we were driving 8 hours, weren't talking, because that's my family. And I was just like, all right, let's see if I can do it. And I just kind of focused for like 2 hours.
I did
that's
one.
That's you in the space shuttle. Like, Mike's really quiet. What's going on?
I think he has the force.
You know, one time I tried to make myself come with my mind, and then I made somebody else come right behind me. It was really weird.
Well, it was weird that my mom came. So.
Damn it. 3 feet off.
Oh, she caught me in her mind.
I just need to recalibrate.
I got to get my coordinates right.
Eagle, this is Houston. You've been radio silent for 2 hours. Is there a problem? Over.
Houston, shut the fuck up for a few more minutes, please.
That's hilarious.
Shut the fuck up, please. Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
This feels so good when you shut up.
This is why you ask that stupid hypothetical question, right?
Exactly.
But it is a thing. I do think the overall experience for a year in Europe makes you, at the end of it, more of a complete person than going to the moon. I understand the draw of the moon of being like, wow, I'm one of the few that has done
this.
Yeah,
my goal is not to be a complete person. My goal is to live in outer space for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
To return to space with the rest of the ETs.
Also, you know what would suck about the 10 minutes?
Mm.
I would be miserable for that 10 minutes because I know it's only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I would be like, oh, I'm not doing enough stuff. I'm not doing the right thing.
I'm not doing the moon right.
I did the moon wrong.
Like, I got to come back for the dark side.
I'm at 1/6 gravity. Maybe my back doesn't hurt for 10 minutes.
Sure.
That's worth it.
That's good.
My knee is all of a sudden okay.
Yeah.
We can get Swedish massages in Sweden. Yeah. So I think we'll be okay.
That's true.
Right? Nice. And Gunther's tough.
Yeah.
He's
a
tough son.
He's rubbing you and he's like, how do you think about DeSantis? And you're like, here we go. I didn't do the accent I should have.
Right? Yeah. Do a Swedish accent, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm not good at
what
that.
Are you going to do on the moon? For 10, you have 10 minutes. What are you doing?
You know, I'll probably bound. I'll bound.
For 10 minutes? You're going to get so tired.
Oh, yeah.
That's it? For 10 minutes,
you're sleep
just
going to sleep the whole
hop.
Way home.
You come home, it's all tuckered out.
I know. I got to plant a fun, bearable flag, of course.
I'll
take the American flag.
You can see it waving.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But
I was on the nightly show with Neil deGrasse Tyson talking space conspiracy, and he explained that, and I got to call him a retard on TV. I was like, Neil, I'm sorry, but that's just retarded. I've seen way too many YouTube videos that disprove that exact fact. And he was like, what?
That's amazing.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's better than walking on the moon.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, if that's an option, I want that now.
Yeah, he seems like a really fun guy to riff with.
I will say this. He said something to me before that taping that stays with me before any taping or any big show that I've ever done. I think it was my first time on Comedy Central. I had like a short sleeve shirt on, so the whole studio is 0 degrees.
Of course.
And I'm like, I'm shivering both out of cold and nervousness.
Yeah.
And so he looks at me and he goes, "You cold?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well," he's like, a good way to look at it is you feeling cold and you shivering and the follicles on your skin popping up and your hair's raising. That is your body reacting to a stimulus and is actually proof that you're alive."
Wow.
Is that? And I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm living. And just that simple,
that's
like,
great.
Oh, I'm living. I'm reacting to a stimulus. This is part of consciousness.
Yeah.
It takes you completely out of like, what's my agent going to say? Yeah. Or like, you know, whatever. What is going to happen after this show?
This is a good metaphor for your, you know, hell only exists with hope.
Yeah.
It's basically like you're living.
This you're living.
Like all the stuff that you actually feel, which a lot of times is negative, is the proof that you're alive.
Is absolutely. That what you had to tell yourself to like get psyched up to come on Fun Bearable?
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Out there. I'm so nervous.
I'm shaking out there and I'm like, I mean, well, you're alive, Mike.
It's cool that he said that, but it kind of copies off of one of my life philosophies, which is I worry, therefore I am.
And mine, which is what me worry.
Mine
that's
is just
a Mad Magazine reference.
That's an Alfred E. Newman.
Mine is where's the beef? So we have to get Mike to his stand-up show.
Yeah, we have that. We have
We have the pedal bike.
Yeah. We have an anti-gravity car.
I brought my rickshaw.
Rickshaw.
You're gonna wear the hat, right?
No.
We're gonna do some special makeup to raise his face. He's gonna put on a special hat.
I'm Portuguese.
It's cool. My barber shows up and he's like, "Finally, good old classic comedy. Put the teeth in."
Thank you so much for being here, Mike. Before
thanks
this,
for having me.
Before this gets worse,
I appreciate it.
So exactly. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really so much fun.
Yeah, awesome. And thanks for dealing with three people talking at you at the same time.
This is also my podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
This
but no,
podcasting.
You're a delight. You're a treat, and I'm still in discussions with our lawyers, but there might be a spot opening up.
Beautiful.
And,
all right.
You're in.
I'm in.
You know.
I'm
in.
If I get lost on the moon,
well, that 10-minute trip turned into a long one.
Guys,
that would be amazing if you
we're leaving without you.
You make the deal. You sign the contract. You get to go to the moon for 10 minutes, and in that 10 minutes, you're like, "All right, I'm gonna run as far away from that capsule as I can."
That would be.
And then you just wait. I'm gonna hide. I'm gonna hide and wait them out.
Rocks on me.
Yeah, they leave, and you're like, "I did it, you fuckers!"
I run behind a rock, and I take off the suit, and I'm putting on the ET suit.
Just you can't take the suit off. You can't take the suit off. You'll die. You just turn blue immediately.
People can check out your podcast.
Yeah. Here's the scenario.
People can check out Here's the Scenario wherever they get their podcast.
Wherever.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And what's your personal address for mail?
Just my mail. I am Mike Cannon, which I'm sure you could use to locate me on some level. But so that's all social media. And then YouTube has my specials and all that stuff.
Yes.
Mike Cannon Comedy.
Yes.
So check those out.
Perfect. That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks again. Seriously.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys.
So much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Absolutely, buddy.
Brad's going to say one last little thing.
Yeah.
And then we're all going to silently turn off all the equipment and not talk to each other.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's kind of the goal.
For Mike Cannon and Ray Harrington and Chuck Staton, I'm Brad Rohr saying thank you so much, and we're sorry for being Fun Bearable.